Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune. You know, we spoke last week about the controversy over Vice President-elect Mike Pence of Indiana being addressed by one of the members of the Broadway cast of Hamilton and Donald Trump's unhappy reaction to it. Well, NBC's late-night host Seth Meyers says, don't get distracted by Hamilton.
Mike Pence is now officially the first vice president in history to lose a duel with Hamilton. But as fun as it is, and it's fun, as fun as it is to talk about this Hamilton feud, it's just a distraction from a far bigger story, a story that will one day be told in the hit Donald Trump musical, Scamilton. Because less than 2 weeks since Donald Trump was elected president, he's already making history by becoming the first ever president-elect to settle a class action fraud suit for $25 million before taking office.
There's breaking news tonight. Donald Trump has agreed to pay $25 million to settle three lawsuits alleging fraud against Trump University.
Donald Trump and his legal team have settled in the Trump University lawsuit. It appears the president-elect will not have to go on trial before heading to the White House.
Congratulations, America! We did it! Our president will not have to go on trial before heading to the White House. It feels good to win again.
That's Seth Meyers from NBC on the president-elect and Hamilton. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio, very happy to have Republican State Senator Michael Connelly from Lisle / Naperville, I guess would be the best way to put that. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Great to be here, Rick.
I wanted to have you on in advance of the return of the legislature for what is supposed to be the closing days of the fall veto session. And I have to say, I don't expect a lot to happen. I want to get your thoughts.
Well, there are expectations and then there are hopes. I hope cooler heads prevail. And I know the people in my district certainly expect the legislature to convene and come up with a compromise budget that will include a number of things. But that's my hope. My expectation is, sadly, I share with you, which is I
see. It's always easier to bet against. It's
you know. I'll say this: I've been there long enough to know that. Veto session, of course, you require the supermajority, and the lame duck session is a different animal. But sometimes Springfield will spring a surprise on
yes,
you,
indeed.
And I always warn advise the new members be prepared at all times because this place can change like the weather, in Lake Michigan, in a snap.
It can move very fast. But everybody was looking for the kind of the time out of the election season, and we saw that Republicans picked up four House seats. Two Senate seats net. But yet we're still seeing the same kind of gridlock.
We do. I will say this, and, obviously both sides have their talking points, but, I can't impress upon the people enough that Governor Rauner has compromised. Governor Rauner has said, I'll support revenue. We were both there when he came to town a couple of years ago. He had a long list of things he wanted to accomplish, and now it's limited to five things. He really just wants to make the state more attractive for private sector capital, because to get out of where we are is going to require a growing economy. I think everyone sees that.
I will say, and perhaps most recently is kind of a more openness on the issue of freezing property taxes. And obviously, municipalities have great concerns about that. You even had some municipalities jumping the gun and levying greater out of fears that there was going to be a property tax freeze. But a property tax freeze that's not necessarily conditional among some of the more controversial aspects, like changes in collective bargaining rules and prevailing wage law. It appears that there might be a window or an openness there to find a way to freeze property taxes that everybody hates, but perhaps not with some of the issues that Democrats find extremely onerous.
This is true, and the governor did bring that up last week. That he has five things he'd like to accomplish, and he doesn't necessarily need all of them now. Certainly out in DuPage County, the area that I represent, property taxes are have been an issue for 20, 30 years now.
Oh, keep going.
well, when they exceed your mortgage by a lot, it's and that's what I hear all, often in my district, it's a huge controversy. And frankly, we lifted PTEL on Chicago, and Chicago's residents who've been undertaxed when it comes to property taxes are going to start feeling that pain that we felt in the suburbs for 30, 40 years.
And, you know, obviously we all talk about wanting to improve schools and improve the way we fund schools, but, you know, let's face it, where's the bulk of the property tax bill?
Well, my property tax bill goes to Naperville School District 203, and frankly, a number of our referenda in the suburbs pass because we know the money's going, it's going to stay local. So there is a great fear of, and rightfully so, the notion that we're going to send all of our money down to Springfield and they're going to split it up, we're going to get our fair share back. We never do. That said, there are things we need to do. I know the governor has a commission that's meeting on funding reform. There are things in Chicago. I'm looking at Michigan Avenue, and it doesn't look blighted to me, but that's a TIF district. And money that should be going to the Chicago Public Schools is going to developers. So there are a number of issues we can address with school funding reform. But, you know, obviously right now we have so many other pressing issues. It's just one of many.
Blight is in the eye of the beholder.
That's what they say.
We're speaking with State Senator Michael Connolly, Republican from Lisle. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, joined here in the Allstate Showcase studio by Republican State Senator Michael Connolly of Lisle. We're talking about the return of the legislature for the final scheduled days of the fall veto session. And, you know, we were talking big issues like reforming school funding. Let's just talk simple issues like how about a budget?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I think there are certainly a working majority of rank-and-file members on both sides of the aisle who share the frustration that our residents do, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, that want to pass a budget. I know I'm in the Senate, and I know there is a large working majority in the Senate that is ready to take the votes necessary to make the state move forward.
But do the regular residents care? I only say that because I can understand municipal officials, school officials, those kinds of people that we kind of deal with. But as far as just the average person, I mean, we've talked about this for a long time with when the state didn't even have the stopgap budget that expires at the end of the year, of just, you know, are regular people feeling it? We know about social services and the pressure on those, but do people in Lisle and Naperville really feel this?
They do. I take the Burlington Northern to work every day, and time again, people I've known for 20 years, they share the frustration, not because they're getting government services from the state of Illinois, but because they know they go to work every day with people they don't like, people that they don't share political views with, frankly, and yet they come together to move their businesses forward. They make tough decisions at work. They cut budgets at work. They invest in other areas at work. So they expect the same from us. So even when they don't have a tie into some state program, they are reading the Tribune and the Times and others, and they're like, why? What is going on down there? I have people I don't like, and yet we get things done at work. And they expect it, and rightfully so, they expect us to do the same. So, yeah, I hear it all the time out in DuPage.
And, of course, in as far as the business community, we talk about this a lot on the show, is certainty. They may not like decisions that are being made, but if there is a certainty to things, you can plan for it or adjust to it. But there is no certainty.
I hear that all the time. Another thing I hear is, you know, we're on the same team. We're competing with Indiana and Wisconsin and Iowa, And the notion, with all due respect to people from those states listening, that we're losing to them and people are moving out into Northwest Indiana where new subdivisions are being built under the premise of you're as close to downtown Chicago as you are in Naperville and the costs are half. So there are a lot of people saying, why aren't we, we're in competition with other states. And right now, we're just not competing at all. We're just fighting.
And it's uphill.
It is uphill. And yet, again, the governor has said, and we've had numerous, I've had so many conversations with the governor where he's literally said, I just want the ability when these CEOs are calling or I'm calling them to bring them to Illinois that I can compete with the Indianas and the Wisconsins. I take my daughter up to Marquette all the time, and when you cross the border into Pleasant Prairie, it's the largest Amazon distribution center you'll ever see. And it is literally a driver and three iron from this Illinois border, as if to say to Illinoisans, you know, get your act together because we can build these things in other states and serve your state from that location. So those are the things that I'm telling you, out by me, I hear the, whether it's in downtown Naperville getting something, you know, at Joseph A. Bank, I'll hear it from people, or if I'm just at the Burlington getting on the train to come downtown.
So, but it, in any event, though, to mm-hmm. get to a budget, to get to some kind of certainty, it's going to take some kind of a, quote, grand bargain.
It'll take a grand bargain, but it also, I mean, there are things coming up. As you remember, at the end of session, we did a bill where Chicago would get an infusion of $200 million for its pension payment, but it's contingent upon a pension reform bill.
A state pension reform bill.
I was one of the only Republicans who voted for President Cullerton's consideration bill, the offer and consideration, which we think is constitutional. So I'm hoping that bill gets brought into a grand bargain, if you will. But as you know, too, after January 1st, it's a simple majority under lame duck rules. And I would expect to see, I think people should pay closer attention to that period of time than right now, which requires, you know, a supermajority to pass bills.
Well, and no disrespect to Republicans, but isn't there also maybe an onus on Democrats to move forward with something?
Well, I'm in the capital of, you know, Illinois Democrats on Michigan Avenue. But yeah, they have a supermajority. They have the ability to, and people always ask me, well, why don't you just submit a bill, a budget? And I said, it's not that simple. I'm in the minority party. It is really incumbent upon my colleagues. And like I've said, I think there are a number of rank and file Democrats, certainly in the House right now, that are public about, you know, wanting to get something done. I'll tell you what, in the next 2 years, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Washington, D.C. The Republicans have all three chambers
lovers
as well. And I've told my congressman, Congressman Roskam, and my friend Darren LaHood, you know, show the country that when you have the ability to make things happen, make it happen. And so, I mean, the Democrats have a supermajority. They certainly have the ability to get something done. And I'm hoping when we get down there, again, I keep my glass half filled. That's, you know, I guess it's the only way to get through what is Springfield.
I'm sorry,
today.
I keep mine half empty. Senator, real quickly,
sure.
Exelon and that issue regarding looking for funds to keep what they say is their unprofitable nuclear plants going. I, you know, and I've had some guests on, and apparently that issue of a demand charge, which was going to be something brand new and very highly controversial, that's been dropped. But nevertheless, you know, we've been taught to kind of to save on energy. We've been encouraging, you know, be responsible about your energy costs. And now it seems like here's the punishment.
Well, as someone who knows that I do my wash at 11 o'clock at night on Sundays, watching, you know, I'm not going to mention the channel, but it's a sports channel, if you could imagine. You know, I understand, you know, there are peak times. I also understand that we need to have our nukes because the nukes give us flexibility. Should there ever be some form of cap and trade, and certainly there won't be for the next 4 years,
right.
But should something like that happen, having the nukes, the cleanest form of energy, by the way, allows Illinois to have a competitive advantage that others don't have. And but what's happened to that bill, it kind of has become what they call a Christmas tree. And on a daily basis, what's in is out, and what's out is in. I just think with the environment in Springfield, that's going to be a very tough lift. Certainly in the veto session, maybe in lame duck it comes back.
I mean, and there's no doubt Exelon's a very influential player when it comes to Springfield.
And their world headquarters happen to be right smack in the middle of my district.
Yes,
so
indeed.
I'm a big supporter of the nukes. I think they play a real important role in distributing energy throughout the Midwest.
But I tend to think, too, that it has grown. The scope of the bill has grown greatly. Now, that's not to say that by the time you get back to Springfield, there may be a complete revision of that bill.
I think we'll be on Amendment 8 or 9 by the time we get back next week.
And each amendment will be 450 pages long, as we well know. So, but, I mean, it's going to be interesting going back this week and seeing, you know, we're moving into the holidays, but we're also moving closer to the end of the stopgap. I mean, is there a chance we might just end up with another stopgap?
You hear rumblings that we're going to have stopgaps all the way through the 2018 gubernatorial election. I hope that's not the case. When the stopgap comes to an end, I think you're going to see activity at the end of the year. You know how it goes. You get a call and, you know, there's a special session and everyone runs down. I'm hoping we can get something accomplished this week. Certainly, like I said a few minutes ago, the pension reform component is important, certainly for the city of Chicago, but also it's one of the five things the governor wants to see to have a grand bargain. So fingers crossed. You can keep your glass half empty, and I'll keep mine half filled.
All right, fair enough. State Senator Michael Connolly, Republican from Lyle, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.